Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now, Mark Knutson, good friend of the station, author of Inside Pitch. You can check that out at 1310kfk.com. Mark, my friend, how are you?
I'm good, man. What do I have to do to score a guest shot on the Nerd Show? Mike and I are having a good Avengers talk before you interrupted us.
I heard him saying come something on, about Gamora. I'm like, Michael, get out of here with that, man. I mean, did you see the new Spider-Man yet? Speaking of nerd stuff.
I did. I loved it. I loved it. In fact, I told him he had to see it, and he loved it, too. It's great.
Well, I'm surprised. Michael's pretty critical of everything, but he liked it. That's if it's not Star Trek, I'm surprised he likes it.
And we reviewed it 2 weeks ago on the Nerd Show.
There you go.
Okay, see, so I need to be on that show.
Hey, I'm pretty sure you could be on there, man, because they're
I'm ready.
They're open. I mean, they're open for a couple of spots.
I do not know anything about Star Trek, though. I can't go there.
Oh, that's going to hurt
Even.
You. That's going to hurt you.
I mean, that hurts my cause, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But you can brush
right
up
now
on
we're
it.
Talking Star Wars.
You can watch one episode of Star Trek and get the whole gist of all of it, I'm sure.
Oh, shot fired.
Okay. Mark, my friend, I was listening to your podcast this morning. What a great conversation. You had Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson on talking about playoffs and everything, really. I mean, my goodness, that was fantastic. So well done by you.
First of all, having Carl Benson as a co-host is a coup, right? I mean, he's sat in those rooms for 30 years, and he's the one. Craig Thompson's not returning my phone call, but he's returning Carl's. So, and honestly, well, you need to get Carl on your program at some point. Not to shamelessly promote our podcast or anything, but he's just an encyclopedia of knowledge about this stuff. So having he and Craig on together, and I wasn't joking when I talked to him about the two of them going back to 2010. June of 2010, when the Mountain West was trying to steal Boise State from the WAC, and Carl was the commissioner of the WAC, Craig was the commissioner of the Mountain West. They got some stories. Between the two of them, they got some stories. And we focused, obviously, this week on playoff expansion, because that's the committee Craig's on, and he was involved. And he starts out, I wish people would go back and listen to it, but starts off like, I'm not going to say much, then he just opens up. He just went. And it was awesome. He told you a ton of information. He said, I went in more optimistic than I came out of the meetings, which is disappointing, because a lot of us thought it might get done right away, right? They might come up and say, okay, we're going to a 12-team playoff. That didn't happen, and I'm not sure it's going to.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating. So in your conversation and just more of what you've learned about this process, like what's the major holdup right now? Why are we so set in just keeping it at a four-team playoff?
Well, see, I think there's universal acceptance of a 12-team playoff. It's just what format it'll take and who's going to get what out of it. I got the vibe from Craig that the Big Ten / the Rose Bowl are the big holdup. That Rose Bowl doesn't want to change anything. They want that 2 p.m. Mountain Time start every January 1, period, regardless, no matter what. And I think Craig basically categorized this a lot like American politics is right now. Everybody's looking to protect their own properties. You know, there's not much room for doing what's best for the collective by negotiating and compromising. And I brought up the point in the conversation about the newness of, and I can't say the guy at the Pac-12, George K, whatever it is, however you say his last name. Heather Dinich was on with us a week before, and she knew how to pronounce it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But he's new. Kevin Warren's new with the Big 12. Bob Boolsby with the Big 10. Bob Boolsby with the Big 12 is still relatively new. A lot of inexperience in that room. Craig is the longest tenured commissioner in college athletics of the 10 major conferences, and that's, that says something about who he's negotiating with now. Is guys who are maybe less willing to negotiate and come to compromises, and guys who are more interested in protecting their turf.
So essentially, I mean, you got the Power Five guys that are like, you know what? Yep. I mean, we want to, if it ain't broke for us, don't fix it. We like our shots and our ability to potentially get in, even though the SEC owns that for the most part. But still, they have a much better shot. Where again, it does hurt the Group of Five so much because them coming to the table, it's that would wreck their obvious ends.
Well, the Pac-12 has come out saying they want a 12-team playoff. Pac-12's adamant, and it makes sense. You know why they'd want that, right?
Right.
The question is, the top six, are those going to be the top five Group of Five champions? And what Craig is advocating, and what was actually agreed upon in principle prior to Oklahoma and Texas making that move over the summer, prior to that, they had an agreement in place where the sixth spot went to the highest ranked Group of Five champion. So they got an automatic, the Group of Five got an automatic bid, just won their highest bid. And I'm thinking at the time, if CSU ever gets their act together, the Mountain West is there to be won, right? And the American, especially when the American has been decimated by their teams moving on to other conferences, CSU would be sitting in a pretty sweet place if they got their act together. Now the question is that access. Because the second six are just going to be six at-large group teams that are the highest ranked. So, you know, it's very rare if I would get two in there, maybe. But the new Cincinnati doesn't have beat. That's going to be tough. So I think it's just a matter of how the 12-team format looks. But the 12 teams has been agreed upon in principle. But no one can agree on how who's going to make up those 12 teams and when this would start and who get what share of revenue and all that. That stuff's still being argued about.
It's just so interesting because on one side, you can see it, Mark. I mean, I can see why the SEC is coming in and they want to be protective. Sure. I can see it for sure. And I know that the likelihood of having March Madness-type feel in football is much different. Basketball is a sport that certainly lends itself to major upsets on a regular basis. But if you open this thing up, you are potentially saying, hey, you're going to have a couple of Cinderella stories once in a while.
Yeah.
And I think that aspect, that's what makes March Madness so absolutely thrilling, is because at any moment, a stud can be knocked off with, and it just feels, you know how that feel is on March Madness.
Yeah. Carl's quick to point out football and basketball are very different animals, very, very different. You can't really compare the two. So I'll accept his expertise on that, right? But, yeah, the Cinderella story, and Craig pointed out during today's podcast that 2020 was an anomaly because you had the Coastal Carolinas and all that stuff popping up during a pandemic year where a lot of conferences weren't even playing non-conference games and so on. So I think trying to make those comparisons is difficult, but trying to make sense of it, trying to make a format that fits for everybody when they thought they had one in place. And it was just a four-person group in early summer last year. Craig, Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame, Greg Swankey from the SEC, and I believe the fourth was Boolsby. I think those guys had this format in place where the group of five got that sixth bid automatic, and they went from there. And then Oklahoma and Texas moved. Everything got put on hold. The alliance got formed, which whatever that means. But Carl brought up a really scary point, too, at the end, that if nothing gets done, there's been an implied threat that the alliance or any of the other groups might go off and do one on their own. We might be looking at a boxing scenario here where you have one national championship group of these three conferences and those three conferences do their own thing. And I mean, it could be insane. It really could.
Yeah, and that's what we've all talked about, too. And again, with name, image, and likeness, with transfer portal stuff, I mean, to get a grasp on what is happening in college football, or college sports, really, is really tough. And then when you talk about, okay, well, the SEC is just the way it's grown. I mean, I always joke. I mean, all these little football groups.
They could do their own, right?
Yeah.
They could do their own.
They all say that they're semi-pro. All these little groups throughout the country say they're semi-pro football. Yep. No, there's no such thing except for college football and specifically the SEC.
Yeah, and they could, again, the idea that the SEC with 16 teams now could break off and do their own championship and just say, the heck with the rest of you, we'll sell our own rights and so on and so forth. It's just, they're going back in 6 weeks and they're going to try it again. But Carl loves this quote from Greg Sankey, who said, listen, you can only kick the can down the road so many times until it's not kickable anymore, basically, right? And so long as they put this off, as Craig pointed out, the issues are going to remain the same. Put it off for another 2 years, still going to have the same issues. And you know what? When this current contract expires, I guess it's year 13. He's talking about a 12-year contract. In year 13, there's no playoff. None. Not even a 14 playoff. So when this 12-year contract's up, year 13, if they don't do something soon, there will not be a college football playoff in that. And I think that's 2026, if I'm not mistaken. So they got to get something done. They got to do it, you know, fairly soon.
And this is a frustration. I mean, point a lot with the NCAA. But I look at the nil thing, Mark. You just mentioned they kicked the can down the road. College, they were hoping that it would just go away. And
exactly
I think
right.
10, 20 years ago, if they would have embraced it, the NCAA and the teams would have essentially been making money off of this instead.
Yeah.
But and on the other hand, now you have the same situation. I love the kick the can analogy because something's going to happen if you keep kicking the can, and you're right. The SEC is going to say, screw it. We don't need you guys. We're the biggest draw. We'll have our own thing.
We'll do our own. And, I'm an outspoken opponent of NIL. And But Rick George brought up a great point this week. The NCAA kind of dropped the ball because they didn't do anything to prevent the politicians from getting involved.
Right.
When the politicians get involved, things get... And right now, politicians did their thing. They pleased their voters. And now we have chaos. We have no regulations. We have no... Can't get arms around any of this mess. And so if they don't... They got to do their own thing, because if you let Congress get involved, you are in deep trouble, in my opinion.
No, I agree. And you know me. I like... The NIL idea, I really do, and we utilize it here at the station with some of these with student athletes locally. But it's different. I do think it's different. Again, it's more of a local scale. I don't know that any of our deals are tipping the scale necessarily for student athletes. But when you're talking, when you're getting into the hundreds of thousands to the millions mark, then suddenly that does tip the scale.
And Rick George pointed out, CU has lost 15 players now in the transfer portal since the beginning of last year. How many of those guys went somewhere else because they can get better NIL deals somewhere else? It's being used as a recruiting enticement now, not just for high school kids, because obviously we saw the kid in Texas who basically quit his high school team so he could go get an NIL deal. But it's being used on current players. The Buffs lost Christian Gonzalez, the defensive back, to Oregon. Come on. You don't think that NIL has something to do with that? Of course it does. So college, hopefully they learn that lesson, because there's really no putting that toothpaste back in the tube now. I'm not sure how they're going to handle it moving forward. But, man, they've got a lot of work to do on the playoff scenario to prevent some more chaos.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. They need to get after it now, because their decisions are going to be made outside of them pretty soon if they don't keep rolling
exactly
here.
Right.
And we're seeing it.
And Craig's voice, if you heard it in that podcast, frustration is the number one thing that came to my mind. He's just frustrated. He left Indianapolis thinking went there for the championship game and for the meetings, thinking this is going to be great. We're going to come out of this with an agreement, because we had one in June and just got tabled, and then everything kind of broke apart and everybody's protecting their own best interests and not thinking about what's best for the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way you can grow this thing. I mean, more playoffs, and again, I think the bowl situation, the bowl games, they all become playoff games. There's going to be way more. Me personally, and I know this is a hot-button topic with a lot of people, but I could care less about the Buffalo Wild Wings Tostito Bowl or whatever. If there was if there were playoff games, if they were playoffs, like, that's venom. I'm going to go watch that.
Okay, I get it, but you still watch. I mean, even if it's not important. But you know what? Craig brought up a great point, too. He said, listen, late November, if we had a 12-team playoff, late November, you'd have maybe 20, almost 25 teams still in the hunt to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, wouldn't that be
so
something?
So all those regular season games would come to mean more down the stretch.
I mean, it would be fascinating. It would be so cool. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, look what the NFL's done. The NFL, it needed to get any better necessarily, but they added one more playoff team. They added one more game. And look what Saturday was. Saturday or Sunday, it was absolute chaos with this. And you have a tie situation, perhaps, where two teams could get in with a tie. It was must-see. I've never seen anything like it. And I do attribute that a lot to just editing and adding more to your product.
But you've seen baseball do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Baseball's wild card thing has done the same thing right down to the last minute. And I think that's what Craig is hoping that the college football expanded playoff would do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mark, it was a great listen. I'm listening to it. We've got to get you on the program. Appreciate all that you do.
No,
I'll tell you what, here's a nice trade. We'll get you on the Nerd Show. You get me Craig Thompson. How about that? I think that's a 50-50 trade.
I can promise you Carl Benson.
Okay.
I can promise that.
You know, that I'll take it. I'll take it. That'd be fantastic.
You would enjoy that.
I would, absolutely.
You'd have to ask one question, and then the whole interview would be taken care of.
Those are my favorite. I can put my feet up and listen. I love it.
He's the best. He's the best.
Mark, appreciate you, my man.
Talk to you later.
All right. Okay. That's Mark Knutson, a writer for us. Of course, he writes at woodypage.com, Mile High Sports, and, of course, 1310 KFKA. But that was a good listen. You ought to check it out. Follow Mark on Twitter, at MarkKnutson41. And I really liked what Craig Thompson had to say, and I loved the analogy. You know, we're going to keep kicking the can down the road until there's no can left to kick, and that's what happened with name, image, and likeness. You guys, we can argue. I've talked about it a lot on my show. I'm a fan of it, but I'm not saying it doesn't need to be regulated. In some capacity, it does need to be regulated. I have seen business owners that I know go out and tweet, hey, we got some nil money for you if you transfer over here. It's happening. I figured it would happen. I didn't know that it would happen at that grand scale that we've been seeing at this stage, but it's just a very interesting concept overall, and that's what's going to happen, though, is you're going to keep kicking the can down the road And the SEC or these Power Five, a couple of Power Five teams are going to say, you know what? Let's break off. We're the ones drawing the ratings. We're the one drawing the money. Let's break off. Let's do our own thing. And that sucks for all of college football. It sucks for the entire situation. But it also could make sense. I wish the NCAA would come in and flat out just say, hey, this is what we'd like to try. We want to try this 12-team. We're going to dictate it. And SEC, you're going to get your representation. Big 12s, you're going to get your representation. But at some point, we have to try it. As Mark said, the contract's up next year. So you're not even in for that 13th year for the four teams that you're at. So you got to figure something out soon. Yes, Michael.
Well, I think I would actually watch separate playoffs if the Power Five and the other conference.
You would watch if it's its own. Well, did you watch the FCS then? Did you watch those playoffs?
I watched. I was extra busy this year.
I did watch the championship game. I watched the championship game.
Because that stuff matters. But all these bowls, it's not like it was when I was younger.
The FCS championship game was way more entertaining to me personally. And I'm a guy that's about venom. I don't like to watch bowl games because there's nothing to gain. I like advancement. And that's what sports to me is all about. That's why the NBA coming out with this mid-season tournament idea is absolutely bonkers. It doesn't mean anything. All-star games and all that stuff. I like advancement. I like games that have something to them. Yes, winning a bowl game for a coach gets him more money. It improves your record, and you get to say we won. But every time I would talk about Bobo, I never would say, oh, well, by the way, he lost or won a bowl game. I just said, did he get in? Did you get to a bowl game? That's usually the barometer, the gauge as far as how good you are.
Yeah, and how many of these bowl games have a 6-6 team versus a 7-5 team? These bowl games are practically meaningless now. They're becoming more and more meaningless by the year.
And you tell me this. I mean, okay, let's add 12 teams, whatever. Maybe it's not the greatest matchup in the world, but for gamblers and stuff, my goodness. If you got the Tostitos first round bowl game or whatever, and it's, I don't know, it's Boise State taking on Cincinnati. I mean, if that was a bowl game that's just like whatever, okay, yeah, people are still interested in that. But that's a game that's must-see television. Even if it's Alabama and Boise State, okay, the spread's 25, you're still interested in that. Because maybe there's a chance Boise can hang in there and do something crazy. I mean, football's not a sport that lends itself to a lot of crazy comebacks, but there's a possibility, and it would add so much more.
Yeah, but a lot of these other bowl games are just garbage. They're there for being the sake of there. And there's a reason why they play them in the middle of the day.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter. Like a December 29th game that we've put on the station in the middle of the day. I mean, I like football. I like listening to it. But unfortunately, sometimes it's just like, ugh.
Bowl games are almost, unless they're the playoff games, they're almost like preseason football. The idea is kind of cool. Okay, I'm going to watch this first game. And then after the first one, you're kind of like, I'll wait till the playoffs start, you know, because it doesn't mean anything.
You get rewarded for being the third best team in your conference.
Winning six games. And I know that, like, my idea of basically taking, I want to expand the hell out of the playoffs. Like, I want it to be every conference champion gets in. Like, that's my perfect scenario. And I know that you're going to get the SEC bitching because they don't get six teams in, or they don't get three teams in or whatever. But you could still do at-larges. I mean, you could have tons of teams in. Conference champ gets in. And then, like, I don't know, you could 20-team playoff, man. I mean, add four more at-large bids. So you got two more SEC teams and two more Big 12 or whatever teams getting in.
I don't have... If you have a large enough playoff, I don't have a problem with all the conference champions get in. But if you have a 10-team, 12-team playoff, that's just, it's wrong. Because your Alabama's automatically going to get in every year.
Every year. They're in every year. You know,
you're going to have probably three teams in the SEC, two teams in the, I'm not going to say Pac-12 anymore. They're awful.
Big 12 or Big 10 or something like that. Yeah.
But it's just not fair. And a lot of those other conferences, bless you, but you don't have the strength right now.
No, right now. But see, this is, but my idea would be this. Like, if you're a three-star, maybe a four-star, you're talking to, okay, maybe you're from Denver. You're talking to CSU, but you're also talking to Georgia. And Kirby Smart's like, hey, you come to our team, you're going to have to work to you're not going to start freshman year, probably not your sophomore year. But if you work your butt off, by year three, you're going to be our starting running back. If I'm CSU, I go to that same person and I say, hey, you'll come here. You have a 50-50 shot to start freshman year. Whatever. But you're probably for sure going to start that second year. And you're going to give us a chance to get in the playoffs. You will shine in the playoffs. You won't be on the bench for Georgia in the playoffs. You will be featured in the first round of the playoffs if we can go win our conference, and we believe we can do that with you. So if I'm a three and a half, four-star guy who could play Georgia, let's say four-star, but I know right off the bat I'm going to get a shot to really get some exposure in a playoff game. Guys can get drafted just because of how they perform in big games. So
guys can get signed by the Seahawks based on how they perform in one game.
No question. You know that one of the top Google things, searches after the national championship game was, is Stetson Bennett available for the NFL draft? He's not getting drafted, is he? But because of his performance in the national championship game, everybody's like, damn, this guy's, that's gritty. That's pretty interesting. Not to say that he would do it, but those kind of performance. So that's what I'm saying is like, You could even the playing field eventually, because you start seeing four stars go, I'm going to go to CSU and we're going to, or Boise State, and we're just going to dominate the Mountain West my 3 years there, and I'll get way more exposure way faster. Here's an interesting call. Let's take a break. We got to take a break. 27 minutes after the hour. I could talk college football playoffs all day long. It's what needs to happen, man. College football is already amazing, but imagine bowl season. I mean, it'd be like March Madness. Bowl season is playoff season. Could be something special. Could be magical. It's a whole show. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.